Welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to Rio Chiba, the co-founder of Topic, which is a tool that uses AI to help us identify content marketing opportunities. Now listen up if you want to know how AI is helping us write content. Thanks for downloading. Now, artificial intelligence, machine learning, it's come on leaps and bounds over like the last 5 or 10 years, and it's now being applied to help us with our content marketing and optimization. Rio has built a tool called Topic that helps us identify content niches, provides us with outlines, and generally helps the content marketing process be a little less hit and miss and a bit more targeted. Now, you can check out Topic at usetopic.com. That's usetopic.com, and connect with Rio on LinkedIn as well. There's lots of links in the show notes, so make sure you check those out. Can I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free, and I'd love it if you could give the pod a quick shout on social media and subscribe via your favourite podcast app. Check out all the links and lots more podcasts at jtid.co.uk/podcasts. Now, the first thing I asked Rio was, how long will it be before I can just press one button, and have artificial intelligence write all my content for me?
I love that question because it really ties into people's preconceived notions about artificial intelligence and the way it's going to impact their content writing.
Yeah.
I think the two biggest ones, that's one of them, which is the one button, this is going to be a cure-all for me. I'm never going to have to touch content again. I think that's a myth, mainly because that's not where the technology is right now. I'm an engineer and marketer, and I've been working with some of the more advanced technologies. And what I can say is that similarly to how in a phone you might see suggestions on words to write next in your sentence, the AI is now to the point where it can write sentences or paragraphs, but once you get a couple paragraphs in, it starts to diverge pretty quickly. So there definitely needs to be a human in the loop throughout that process of creating content and helping inform which direction it should go. So it's not quite to the point where it can write a whole article yet.
Phew, still got a job. Let's get all the Star Trek stuff out of the way before we actually hit the sensible stuff. How long do you think, if you had to put a ballpark figure on it, how long do you think it will be before we can press a button and it creates things that humans like?
That's a hard question to answer. To be honest, it won't take very long for the generic information to be commoditized, for the creation of articles that just cover the basics to be pretty much instantaneous. The main thing is that from a content perspective, readers are very quick to pick up on things that aren't adding value for them.
Yeah.
And there are things that are intangible, things that an AI has difficulty with, like entertainment value or being an authoritative source, for example, and those kinds of things. It will take a lot longer, you know, in the many years type time frame for AI to be able to achieve through content some of those distinguishing factors.
So how clever is artificial intelligence right now? Is it actually clever? Is it actually intelligent? Or is it just faster at processing complicated information quicker than humans?
That's a great question. I think a great way to start to explore that question is diving into the actual technology itself and how it works. So One of the more spoken of and hyped up pieces of AI technology out there right now is technology called GPT-3. It stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. It's the third version. But how it works is that it essentially is an advanced autocomplete that writes really human-sounding text. And basically what it's doing is it scraped a huge portion of the internet, learned the relationships between different words and how they co-occur. And what it does is it analyzes each part of what you give it, which is the prompt, and then tries to predict the next word. And it goes word by word, trying to predict each word. So it's a very mathematical and prescriptive process. But I think in that process, you can see that there isn't necessarily an understanding of the world And that comes across in interesting ways too. For example, the system isn't very good at generating text around understanding the position of different objects in the world, for example, because it's just analyzed text from the internet and there's no concept of the real world out there.
Is it a bit dangerous to train this thing on text from the internet? Because text from the, none of us are normal on the internet, are we? I mean, we might be kind of like normal in one-to-one conversations and day-to-day life, but the internet is, do you think it's probably not the best thing to train these things on?
Yeah, the internet is an interesting place for sure. I think that's one of the big challenges too, is making sure that these systems don't generate toxic output.
Sure.
Because they're being trained on all sorts of different things, potentially controversial material, and there are already systems that people are building to try to avoid that, because things like people's prejudices or you know, things as extreme as hate speech, but even as subtle as stereotypes end up in content being generated by AI. And that's a major concern in terms of a safety standpoint, because these things will get reinforced by the content being created. It's up to really marketers and the people producing these things to be that safety check and analyze this content before it's being published and put a brand behind it to ensure that that doesn't happen.
So I think the number one rule is to proofread everything the computer comes up with.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also build in automated checks to highlight issues as they come up.
Yeah.
We have a free tool on our site that generates blog ideas. And
sure.
One of the things that came up during it is that even when you put in an automated system, the messaging has to be absolutely clear. For example, we started flagging content that had to do with LGBT issues as potentially controversial in our system. And that was just because, really depending on the context, it could be. But our message wasn't clear, we used to say, hey, this content could potentially be toxic. And that message in and of itself is a problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, we needed to change that to be more subtle and recognize the fact that the context of the content being generated is really important.
So let's talk about that. You mentioned generating blog ideas and things. Let's talk about research and the research side of content marketing in general. How can websites like yourselves, like Topic, using machine learning, artificial intelligence, how can they help us with researching our content?
Yeah, to take a step back, one of the most important things when creating content is not necessarily that you need to find a way to automate it and make it ultra cheap, but ultimately that it resonates with the audience that you're speaking to.
Yeah.
And that's one of the more powerful ways that AI can help us, is understanding the user and really get back to marketing fundamentals, which is speaking their language and solving their problem. The tools that are out there on the market today do a great job at turning that into part of your regular process and streamlining that. And generally how most of them work is, and Topic included, is they'll take the top search results, what's already ranking, and use that as a starting point to understand the topic and how it's broken down, the subtopics that you need to cover, questions that you need to answer for your audience, all of those things that as a marketer you might not necessarily have in your head. Every marketer knows how challenging it is to get into your customers or your audience's heads and see things from their perspective. And this is sort of a lens to help dig into that. The search results also are a great place to start, because Google's already done enormous amounts of testing with users to identify which articles are resonating with searchers and bubbling those to the top. And so taking a look at those is a real treasure trove of information, even if you're just doing it manually or using these tools to help speed up the process.
So we're kind of like using AI to try and find ideas that will resonate and answer questions. Does it also look at, say, the competition aspects of things? Because, I mean, if you type in how to write a blog post, for example, you've got like a billion people have written that article. Does it help us identify the niches as well?
Yeah, it can help identify niches. It can help identify ways that you can distinguish yourself. I think one of the more useful aspects is helping you get to cover what's the status quo quicker so that you can spend more time doing the critical thinking in terms of identifying which niche you want to target and how you want to target it. One of the more common mistakes I've seen in content is when you're doing things manually or if you haven't found a way to include it into your process in a streamlined fashion, that you'll spend a lot of time just trying to catch up to what's already out there. And by the time you get to the end and you're ready to publish, it's not even, you're maybe getting to the status quo in terms of everything that you need to cover, but you haven't figured out the specific niche that you want to specialize in with the content that you're producing or a specific way to go above and beyond what's already out there. But yeah, in terms of figuring out the niches, one of the strengths of the system is identifying patterns. And so clustering the different subtopics to cover can be useful. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it's one thing that when I talk to a lot of marketers, particularly a lot of content marketers, they talk about finding these niches, and that's what they find difficult because the internet is full of content. It's absolutely full to bursting. So the main questions have been answered so many times. It's trying to find the questions that haven't been answered yet. And is that something it can help with?
Definitely. I think it's surprising sometimes that you think that you've answered every question, but the questions people are asking are constantly changing. And luckily, the tools out there, we have a free tool on a site that where you can put in a keyword and it'll tell you every question that people are asking around that. But for a specific topic, the questions can change over time, especially with industries that are changing, like marketing and AI, for example. But even for things as old as, say, playing chess, those queries people are asking change with the times.
So can it help us identify words and phrases as well? I suppose we come back to basics of keyword research, the words and the phrases that we need to be putting in our content to be able to target these niches.
Absolutely. So identifying those words or phrases is something that it is really strong at. And one of the things that I think is a common misconception is that these are the same things as what marketers are or SEOs are used to doing, which is keyword research. Mm. And when people approach it from that angle, they're typically looking at things like the direct words that people are putting into Google to do their search. And they're looking at things like search volume and competitiveness and using that as a starting point for the content that they're creating. But really, when somebody enters that query into Google, it's such a small part of what's already in their mind in terms of the things that they want to learn about. Each of those queries have lots of tens of different subtopics around them. And so instead of taking a more keyword focused approach, we like to think of it as a more subtopic focused approach where the things that we're showing you aren't necessarily what's being typed directly into Google, but are things that people want to learn about.
So if we kind of like type a topic into topic, and it will come up with a bunch of almost like paragraph headings, like an outline even, that we can then as humans write content for.
Yeah, so how the product works is that you essentially give it a focus keyword and then we do the research for you, present it, and then allow you to curate that very quickly into an outline that can be handed off to a writer. And so typically this process, when you're doing it manually, involves taking a look at each of the search results, digging into them, manually opening up a bunch of tabs and cobbling this together yourself. But we streamline the process and then also use AI to discover those specific things that you need to be talking about in your article in terms of those subtopics and how they're organized in terms of the structure of the page.
When we move on to actually writing this content and creating this content itself, is there anything that an AI can help us with there about different phrases that we use, for example? Because it's going to be a human writing this content. What sort of tips can we get off the AI?
Yeah, the AI gives you the starting point, but I would say my biggest tip overall is the best results come from taking those and figuring out how those terms can be used to add value to the reader. So our software isn't helping Google identify your content. It's helping readers get more value out of it. And so our general thesis is basically Google is constantly measuring the engagement signals from visitors who are landing on your blog post or site, things like bounce rate and time on site. And if those aren't very high, or it's very clear that people are jumping in and bouncing out, that's a really strong negative signal for Google that your content isn't very valuable. And so the reason why people jump out is they can't find the information that they're looking for. And so we help you identify, okay, what are the things that they want to read about, and how can you organize in a way where you can have them, or they can quickly find it on your page.
Is it analyzing our own websites, or is it analyzing our websites within the search results?
Yeah, so it's mainly analyzing what's already in the search results, since that is the output of the testing that Google's done among, like we talked about earlier, the plethora of content that's out there.
Can it look at our own website? I'm just thinking off the top of my head, and sort of like scan an existing page and say, this is how you can do it better.
Definitely. There are a couple different tools out there in the world that help do that analyze your existing site, that crawl through it and identify opportunities for optimization. And so that's definitely a possibility. The nice thing about having automation is that it's relatively easy to do at scale. And so if you can optimize and identify opportunities on one page, it's pretty easy to do it on all of your pages.
Is there a worry that too much content might get created? That we might be, this might be speeding up things so much that we can push out thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pages. Does that really matter?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the biggest trends that I see in the coming years is going to be the commodification of content that's generic, or is information that's not that, doesn't require too much critical thinking to put together. Mm. We are already seeing that with searches like when you type, how tall is this sports player, or, you know, what's the weather like in my city? Google's already taken away search traffic from people who used to write blog articles or try to provide that data, and just shows you the information right there. So we're going to see a continuous progression in that direction for content that's generic. And so the real challenge for marketers is going to be to keep up with the competition as things get more competitive, and really differentiate using things that are still difficult to do, like engagement, as well as EAT, authority, trust, and figuring out ways that they can compete using those angles. One of the things that I see as a big trend is going to be the use of, or the need for marketers to learn skills in data and analyzing it to present unique viewpoints, or, you know, to add more trustworthiness to their article. Things like being able to minimally scrape information, clean it, parse it, visualize it. There's all sorts of different proprietary data sets out there to work with. And, you know, people are already used to finding citations to include in their blog articles to back them up. But I think that that is going to be another thing that becomes more and more important as the text itself becomes more of a commodity.
Yeah. Do you think we're creating new roles in a way that maybe we're creating the marketing data analysis, marketing data scientist role? I mean, I meet a lot of marketers, and myself in general, you know, I'm a creative marketer, so I enjoy creative things. You give me a spreadsheet and I'm asleep in 10 seconds. You know, it's not what I want to be doing, is staring at an Excel spreadsheet or a database. So do you think we're actually creating new roles here, so we can have a marketing data scientist who can then feed signals through to the creative person who can then create fabulous content?
Absolutely. I think we're already seeing that in some roles, is people who specialize in growth. You know, generally, titles with growth in them, and do involve some amount of the analytical side and experience with those kinds of tools. But we'll see a continued emphasis on that role. I think one key role that will change a lot is going to be the writing teams themselves. A lot of people ask, is this going to replace me if I'm a writer, or if copywriting is a major factor of my role? And my answer to that is that it won't replace that, but it's going to modify that and evolve that role into being less about actually putting down the sentences and more about working as an editor and curating the information that's being produced by software. So, you know, this is, I think, a situation where the actual work itself is changing, but the need for the work is still there. And it's going to require a human to do it.
Yeah, it's the way I see it, to be honest with you. There's still a little bit of a hit and miss in creating content, isn't there? If you're just using the human brain, you've got a better chance, I suppose, of getting it wrong than a computer, which is going out there and analyzing all this information. So if we can use the signals that AI is giving us to basically make sure that the work we do has a better success rate, would that be right?
Yeah, it's a great check to be able to move things in the right direction. The state of AI right now, I would say, is somewhere in the middle, in between absolute cure-all amazing and the people who dismiss it immediately due to how much hype it's gotten and how often people use it as a buzzword in their products or services. I think we are all overloaded with that. And so it's somewhere in the middle right now where it can get to the point where it's helpful in subtle ways. Similar to again, autocomplete on your phone when you're texting, that is AI at work, but you don't even notice it because it's just convenient, it's there, it's helpful. As marketers and in more of a B2B context, we will start to see more of that in products that we're using every day. You know, for example, in paid, being able to generate ideas for advertisements on the fly, and, you know, in organic search and SEO, being able to quickly brainstorm different aspects of our content. Those will just become subtle but helpful features, and it'll progress similar in a way where the progress is linear, where the next steps are it generating sentences or paragraphs, but not whole new articles.
Do you think the biggest successes will be the successes which we don't actually really know are there? For example, you've got those successes of like facial recognition, which fails miserably lots of times. And then you've got self-driving cars, which again fails miserably millions of times. But then you mentioned something like autocorrect on iPhone. That's a big success, isn't it? But we wouldn't even think of that as AI.
Yeah, exactly. You know, even in the driving context, cars can't drive themselves yet and won't likely be able to drive themselves in the more challenging contexts for decades. But features like lane keeping assist or safety features that prevent your car from running into another in an emergency, those easier cases, technology is able to handle now, and those are being incorporated in today's vehicles. And so in the same way, we'll see, AI assist in that way and make things easier. And so the transition as technology progresses is going to be softer and more almost imperceivable until we're all used to it so much that we don't even think about it working behind the scenes.
So what do you think is next for artificial intelligence in marketing? What's the next step? What's the next big thing that you reckon will happen?
I think the next big thing is going to be, we're at the cusp right now where the text generation aspects of AI are getting to the point where they're usable. I think before there was AI, there were things that could spin your content. You know, people tried them out. They're pretty poor quality and generate text that's not very useful. It's getting to the point where the text that AI can generate is actually human readable and can follow a set tone of voice and is creative enough to be used in brainstorming. And I think that's the point at which marketers will actually say, hey, this is actually useful. I can actually start to work this into my content, even if I am a discerning brand that does care about the quality of my content. I can actually still use this. So I think that's going to be the biggest shift, is usage of these tools among the mainstream, where previously they might have just been used for lower quality content or by people who are looking for one click solution.
But the proofread it before you put it live.
Absolutely, yeah. Proofread it before you put it live, and check for plagiarism before you put it live, all of those things.
Absolutely, yeah. Rio, it's fascinating chatting to you, and I could do for an awful long time here. Where can we find you? Where can we find Topic? Give me your website, all your social media bits.
Yeah, so our website is usetopic.com. You can find me there. We have a number of free tools that can be useful to get started in using AI and your audience's behavior online in your content. But yeah, social media, I'm on LinkedIn as Ryo Chiba, first name spelled R-Y-O. I'm happy to continue the conversation there.
Fantastic. I'll leave all the links in the show notes so everybody can just click on those. Ryo, thanks for your time. Really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on, John.
Thanks again to Ryo for his time. Don't forget to check out Topic, usetopic.com. There's links in the show notes. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, you can subscribe for more on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your favorite podcast player. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.